Begin this morning by reading a verse, a couple verses from the Shoshinge. This is Shinran's expression of the experience of living in the Nembutsu. Shinran Shonin no Shoshinge kara, kotoba wo itadaite kara hajimeritai to omoimasu. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho o negaishimasu. The light of compassion that grasps us, illumines and protects us always. The darkness of our ignorance is already broken through. Still, the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred cover, as always, the sky of true and real Shinjin. But though light of the sun is veiled by clouds and mists, beneath the clouds and mists there is brightness, not dark. When one realizes Shinjin, the entrusting heart, in Amida Buddha's great compassion, seeing and revering and attaining great joy, one immediately leaps crosswise, closing off the five evil courses. Amida Butsu no Komyo wa itsumo shujo wo osame totte omamori kudasaru. Sude ni mumyo no yami wo harete mo musabori ya ikari no kumo ya sari wa itsumo manoko no shinjin no sora wo oite iru. Shikashi tatoe ba nikko ga kumo ya kiri ni saigirarete sono shita ni wa akarukute yami ga nai no te onaji you de aru. Shinjin wo etta oi yorokobi uyamao hito wa tadachi ni honganriki ni yotte mayoi no sekai wo kizuna ka tachi kireru to namandabutsu. Good morning, everyone. Minasan ohayou gozaimasu. Wonderful to see you all here this nice chilly morning. It's nice this morning. I think I had a new record thick layer of frost on my windshield when I left the house this morning. But it's for me, it's nice to have a little bit of wintery-ish weather here around this around the year-end time of year. So we're going to be continuing our talk about Shakyamuni Buddha. This month, we've been talking about the life of the Buddha and different things that happened in the Buddha throughout the month. And today, I wanted to talk about something that happened later on in the Buddha's life. We've been talking a lot about the things that happened in the Buddha's earlier life, around the time he became enlightened. But today, I want to talk about something that happened later on in his life, when he had become very, very well known. The Buddha had become very famous, and he had many disciples. And some people became very jealous of him, in particular his cousin. Does anybody remember the Buddha's cousin? Do you remember the name of the Buddha's cousin? Yeah, do you remember? Does anyone remember? I think of him as kind of like the Wile E. Coyote of the Buddha Sutras. Do you know? Does anyone know? It starts with a D. His name was Devadatta. Devadatta was very jealous of the Buddha. So sometimes when people are very successful and very popular, other people become very jealous of them. And that was Devadatta. Devadatta wanted to be popular like the Buddha, and he wanted to lead his own Sangha. He wanted to have his own group of disciples like the Buddha. And so he came up with a plan. He hatched a plan to convince about half of the Buddha's disciples to go and follow him. He one day, when all of the Buddha's disciples were gathered together, he asked the Buddha a question. He said, the Buddha said, are there any questions? He said, I have a question. And the Buddha said, okay, what's your question? He said, okay, so there's been some discussion among some of us, and we want to know, is it okay? Can we say that monks should never eat meat? And should we say that monks should never handle money at all, should never touch money at all? And he had a bunch of very strict rules like this. And he said, can we say these things? And the Buddha said, well, you know, many of these are things that we should try to do, but if a monk receives a gift of food that contains meat, do you remember what the Buddha did if somebody gave him meat? What did he do? Do you remember, Kate? He put it in his bowl, and then what did he do with it? He ate all of it. That's right. So the Buddha said, no, monks should eat whatever they receive. And so we can't just keep this very strict rule of monks never eating meat at all, because monks should eat whatever they receive. So if they receive meat, they should eat meat. And so Devadatta got very happy. He smiled and he said, thank you very much. And then you know what he did the next day? The next day he said, you know, the Buddha has gone soft. The Buddha is not observing the strict rules, because the Buddha teaches kindness and he teaches nonviolence, but he also allows his disciples to eat meat. So he said, I'm going to go off and I'm going to start a new group for people who are really serious. We're going to be the really serious followers of the true teaching. And you should come and you can follow me. And so many of the Buddha's newer disciples who were a little confused and they didn't really understand the teaching, they said, okay, let's all go join Devadatta's group. So they all went and they started to more and more people until a group of several hundred gathered around Devadatta. And Devadatta, he was giving sermons and talking. And then one night, something very strange happened. Something very strange happened. A man came into where the Buddha was meditating. He was sitting under a tree and meditating. And a man came with a sword. He came to where the Buddha was. And he was just about to hit the Buddha with the sword. And then he stopped. Because usually when somebody picks up a sword, like they're going to swing at it, either the person runs away or they start to fight back. And the Buddha didn't do anything. He just sat there, kept on meditating, very calm. And eventually, the man, he just stopped and he laid down his sword and he bowed down at the feet of the Buddha. And that was the first time when he bowed down that the Buddha acknowledged him. And he said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? The man said, well, you know, somebody told me that I should come with my sword and attack you, but I just couldn't do it because you sat so peacefully. I've never met anyone so peaceful as you are right now. So I'm not going to attack you. In fact, I want to become one of your disciples. I want to learn to be like you. So the Buddha said, okay, but who sent you here? He said, I can't tell you. I'm too afraid. And the Buddha said, well, do you have a family? He said, no, I just have an elderly mother. So the Buddha said, it's not safe for you in this country, so you should take your elderly mother and you should escape. Go to the next country over. Go to the next country over and you just stay there and they'll protect you and they'll take care of you. Tell them I sent you. So the Buddha's other disciples came in and they saw this sword on the ground. And they said, whoa, what's this? The Buddha said, actually, some guy just came and he was going to attack me, but then he went away. And the Buddha was very kind of calm about it, but they were very worried. They're like, what is this? This is very serious. This must be the work of Devadatta. Devadatta must be the one who did this. And so two of the Buddha's leading disciples, Shariputra and Mahamoggallayana, said, we're going to go over and we've got to go talk to Devadatta's people. We've got to help them understand that they're mistaken. So they went and they went over to Devadatta's group. And when they arrived, Devadatta had just finished eating and he was about to give a sermon. And they noticed that, oh, he's set up his community just like the Buddha. He's sort of imitating the Buddha. And when Devadatta saw them, he was so happy to see them because he thought, oh, wow, look at me. I've just convinced two of the Buddha's main disciples to come and join my group. And then he was also relieved. He said, whew, now I don't have to give a Dharma talk because I can ask these guys to give a Dharma talk. So he said, Shariputra, please, please give a Dharma talk. Shariputra was a wonderful disciple of the Buddha. He would always freely share the Dharma whenever asked. So Shariputra began to give wonderful Dharma talks. And he stayed there day after day giving Dharma talks. And Devadatta said, wow, this is great. I can even go on vacation. So Devadatta went off, and Shariputra continued to give Dharma talks until one day Devadatta said, thank you all for listening. He says, I'm done speaking here now. And everyone's like, oh no, we want to hear more. Shariputra said, I've only known one true teacher in my life, Shakyamuni Buddha. Now I'm going back to Shakyamuni Buddha's community. If you want to hear this true Dharma, I suggest you join us. And that's all he said, and he left. Mahamudgalyayana went with him. And all of a sudden, more and more of Devadatta's group started to leave and return to the Buddha. Devadatta comes home. And what does he find? Where is everybody? Where did half of my people go? Shariputra and Mahamudgalyayana were here. Well, they left, and half of the group followed them back to the Buddha. Oh, Devadatta was so mad. He was so mad. Okay? So then a couple days later, the Buddha was walking down a path. He was walking very calmly, very peacefully with a group of his other disciples. His disciple Ananda was with him, his constant companion. And all of a sudden, Ananda shouts, look out! Look out! There's a huge boulder rolling down the hill. And the Buddha sees it, jumps out of the way, and as he looks up, he sees someone running off. It looks like they're kind of wearing monk's robes. And then the Buddha, as he's running away, he cuts his foot very badly. And it hurts so bad that he has to sit down and meditate because it hurts so bad. And then the other disciples, they gather around, they see the Buddha's foot is bleeding, and they all go crazy. They say, oh, this is terrible. I'm sure that was Devadatta who pushed that rock down the hill. They're running around. We have to protect the Buddha. What are we going to do? They're running around, and the Buddha says, hey, calm down. Calm down. There's no need to get alarmed. Ask Jivaka, my disciple, the doctor, to come here and need some treatment for this injury. There's no need for you all to get upset. Stay calm. Bring Jivaka. Jivaka came. He treated the Buddha's wound. His disciples, they brought a palanquin, a kind of chair, and they carried him back, and the Buddha sat, and he recovered. And after about a week of receiving good treatment, then the Buddha got better. He was well enough now to go for a walk into town. They went into the capital where the king lived, and they went in there to beg for food, as they did every day. And as they were walking down the street, once again, Ananda's always looking out for the Buddha. He's always making sure everything is okay. And he sees something very surprising. He sees a giant elephant charging down the road at the Buddha. And it's furious. It's an angry elephant. And it's charging, and it has its tusks out, and it's chasing. It's running straight for the Buddha. Everybody jumps out of the way, and they say, Buddha, get out of the way! Get out of the way! The Buddha just stands there. He just stands there very calmly. And when the elephant gets about three paces away, three more steps, and it would run at the Buddha lets out a majestic roar. The majestic roar. A roar that he had learned from the queen of the elephants. When he was dwelling in the forest, he befriended many of the animals there, and he got to be friends with the queen of the elephants. And she would roar, and he learned to roar just like her. Unexpectedly, the Buddha is usually very quiet. Then he lets out this great roar, and this charging elephant stops in its tracks, and it gets down on its knees as if it's bowing down before the Buddha. And then the Buddha grabs its trunk, takes it by its trunk, and leads it. This charging elephant, holding it by its trunk very gently, leads it back to the stables of the king, where he finds that the gate is standing open and that this is one of the king's elephants who had been let out deliberately. And this is one of the king's elephants who had a very bad temper and was very angry. And so the Buddha leads it back. And he doesn't ask, who did this. He knows that somebody must have put the keeper of the elephants up to it. Someone must have convinced him, oh, you should let out the elephant. But the Buddha doesn't ask, who was it? The Buddha just goes to the keeper and admonishes him. He's very serious. He says, you made a big mistake. Many people could have been injured. This elephant is very dangerous. I want you to think about all the people who could have been hurt. And you need to understand, you have a responsibility to take care of these elephants and to keep everyone safe from the dangerous elephants. Then the Buddha closed the gate and he went on his way. And he carried on. And it's said that after this, then Devadatta gave up on trying to attack the Buddha. He realized that the Buddha was so peaceful and calm, was so brave and courageous, that no one could attack him. No one could defeat him in the usual way of attacking someone. So I think this is a wonderful story from the Buddha's life. It tells us how to deal with the things that are happening. Sometimes things happen to us in our life, and it's like there's a giant boulder rolling down the hill unexpectedly, or there's an elephant charging up the street at us. And the Buddha shows us what to do. The Buddha doesn't try to fight back. The Buddha doesn't necessarily run away. Sometimes he steps out of the way, but sometimes he stays right where he is. But he always remains calm. He always remains calm. And the Buddha, another thing the Buddha does is he doesn't worry about blaming. When something bad happens, he does something. Remember when he cut his foot, he called the doctor. As the elephant was charging, he stopped it and then he let it back. So the Buddha deals with problems, but he doesn't worry about placing blame. He doesn't get angry about it. He keeps calm. Sometimes these things come at us from outside, but sometimes they come at us from inside. Sometimes we do things that are like rolling a boulder down the hill at someone. Sometimes it's like we let a charging elephant out. Have you ever gotten really angry and just so excited and it's like you lose control of yourself? It's like letting a wild elephant out, right? The Buddha shows us how to deal with that, how to deal with ourselves. If we live in the Nembutsu, Shinran Shonin, our true teacher, helps us to understand the Buddha's teaching, and he reminds us that the most important matter is not when other people let the elephants out and when other people push the rocks, but that we ourselves, we have the potential to push those rocks down the hill, to let out the charging elephants. And so we have to learn to look within our own hearts and to learn how to face our own charging elephants in our own hearts, our own maybe bad temper or our own impatience, our own greed, all of these feelings that we have in our hearts that can cause problems for others. And we don't need to blame ourselves. We don't need to get angry with ourselves. We just need to look within and say, okay, this is me. This is what's happening. How can we fix it? Let's call the doctor. Let's bring the elephant back to the cage. The doctor is the Buddha. The Buddha who provides his teachings that show us how to live. And so Shinran Shonin, in this passage that I read at the start of my talk, he says, the light of compassion grasps us always. The light of the Buddhist wisdom is always holding on to us. And the darkness of our ignorance is already broken through. And still, the clouds and mists of greed and desire, anger and hatred, cover as always the sky of true and real understanding, true and real Shinjin. So even though sometimes we get angry, sometimes we lose track, we let the wild elephant of our greed go running wild, we can always come back and look at these teachings and look at the Buddha for guidance. That's Shinran Shonin's guidance for us that we receive in the Nembutsu. まあこのお心の中にあのまあそういうまあ怒ったぞとかまあ自分があの大きい岩を下に投げるような自分の心の中にそういう人の被害をさせるお心が私の中にありますので、 その人を被害をさせる心を外から入ってくることというのはよりは自分の中の人に傷をつかせる心が最も危険なものですから、それを気づくのは念仏のことですね。それを気づいたら仏様の御教えを聞いて、どういうふうに解決方向が仏様の光によって照らされていることでございます。これはお念仏の生き方でございます。 So we'll conclude here. I invite you to join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。
ナモアミダ仏、ナモアミダ仏、ナモアミダ仏、ナマンダ仏、ナマンダ仏、ナマンダ仏、ナマンダ仏。